Well, you know, it's a strange thing to find myself up here. It's been quite a week, though, hasn't it? How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Almost everybody. Wow, what an incredible week for the swimmers, for the gymnastic team. Just full and rich of all kinds of triumphs. Also was a triumph for me this week because Alice and I celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary on Thursday. So I look forward in 8 years of celebrating gold myself. Thank you for being here this morning. The other thing is that when one preaches at First Pres, there are several decisions that one has to make. Do you preach from down here? Do you preach from up here? Or do you preach from the pulpit? Well, since I've kind of been in both spots this morning, it's now time for me to go to the pulpit because I don't preach from memory. As I prepared for today's service, I was reminded of a lyric from a song that was recorded in 1969 by a group called The Hollies. The lyric went something like this. The road is long with many a winding turn that leads to who knows where, who knows where. As the preacher of the day, this is a turn in the road that I did not anticipate. While I have preached in other churches I have served, it was usually on my final Sunday as a member of the staff just prior to moving to a new call. So I trust that this morning's opportunity to preach will be a notable exception to my previous experiences, and that I won't find myself moving soon. As I begin this morning, I want to begin by taking you on a short journey, a voyage of faith involving my childhood and mountain experiences. Today's text, Psalm 121, has 8 very short but familiar verses. These verses have had great importance to me over the years. I grew up in a town very similar to Fort Collins, located approximately 800 miles west and slightly north of here. Boise, Idaho is bordered on the north by foothills, and it was in those foothills I had many exciting adventures. Adventures of finding ponds filled with tadpoles waiting to be scooped up in a bucket, taken home and placed in a pool of water so I could observe these little wiggling creatures turn into frogs. Cool stuff for a boy. Then there was the rock quarry where one could find small fossils of various kinds, sizes, and shapes. A paradise for a young boy, to be sure, filled with unlimited explorations and delight. There were also the weekend camping trips to the mountains located further north and behind the foothills. In those mountains, I learned to fish, build campfires, roast hot dogs, and, oh yes, make s'mores. But best of all, I didn't have to take a shower for days. As an adolescent, the hills and the mountains were a place of adventure, solitude, safety, and perhaps at times, escape. The hills and mountains were just that, something to explore and enjoy, but was the creation a place of help? My grandparents, salt of the earth folks, adopted me as a young child. Yes, there is a story there, but that needs to wait for another time. Grandpa and Grandma instilled within me a strong work ethic and a keen understanding of what it means to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and keep moving forward. I grew up believing that with hard work, determination, and perseverance, there was absolutely nothing that I could not accomplish. In short, I became independent and as much as possible, self-sufficient. While help was always available just for the asking, not having to ask for help seemed to be the ideal. During my teenage years, I completely reevaluated the importance of seeking help. It was during those years I looked to the mountains with an entirely different perspective. I'm wondering this morning if there is anyone here with a similar experience. So here is the question. Where does your help come from? When the going gets tough, when you're down and out, where do you turn for help? God used Psalm 121 to reshape my viewpoint of help, the necessity of having help, and most importantly, revealed where my true and ultimate source of help comes from. I invite you now to recite Psalm 121 with me. Saying together, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Psalm 121 is simply beautiful and beautifully simple. It is among the best known and best loved poems in the Psalter. I am confident that many of you would identify these short eight verses as among your favorite portions of Scripture, and that you can even recite it from memory. This song of ascents is uncomplicated, but for some, difficult to embrace and almost impossible to trust. Scholars have different opinions on the purpose or use of these songs in ancient times. However, the most commonly held belief is that the title Songs of Ascents indicate that these psalms were sung by male Jewish pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem on the occasions of three annual feasts. We know that the males did not travel by themselves. They were also accompanied by their families. So this was a large group of people traveling from wherever they lived to go to Jerusalem for the annual feasts of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. These 15 songs of ascent, Psalms 120 through 134, are well suited for singing because of their poetic form, brevity, repetition, and the sentiments that they express. More than half of these are cheerful, and all are filled with hope and an emphasis on Zion. So later in the service, like the pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem, we will also sing Psalm 121. As we peer into the psalm, the traveler is asked, where does his help come from? We don't know whether the psalmist is thinking of the hills as a place of refuge or menace and danger. Regardless, the pilgrim's response to the question comes immediately and boldly. My help comes from the Lord. In your Bibles, the Lord is in all caps because this is the I am God of the burning bush episode in Moses' call to deliver Israel. Thus, Psalm 121 is not so much a teaching psalm as it is a psalm about worship. It orients our thoughts towards God rather than towards his creation. It is about awe, it's about reverence, about mystery and transcendence. As we recited the song a moment ago, I hope there was some awareness of the communal sense of corporate worship when we recite the psalm together. It further demonstrates that worship, whether done corporately or as an individual, is not an act that we engage in, or it is an act that we engage in, rather than something that is done for us or to us. In worship, we come to offer our adoration, love, and praise, in fact, our very selves to the high, most holy Lord of hosts. This is our living sacrifice of praise to the Lord, which he seeks and for which you and I were created. As disciples of Christ, we are never to totally place our hope and security in abilities, intellect, wealth, station in life, but rather in the Lord our God. Following Christ never means being independent, but rather constantly being dependent on the Lord for who He is and what He has done for us as the ultimate underpinning of help and strength. Verse 3 reminds us that the Lord is faithful. He will not allow our foot to be moved, and He watches over us 24/7. Unlike us, though, the Father never grows weary or tired, and the Creator never sleeps. The Lord's nature, character, and purpose are to watch over, defend, and keep us just as He kept Israel. As our keeper, He guards and takes care of us because we were created imago Deo, in the image of God the Father. We have learned through our study of the Psalms this summer, beginning with Psalm 23, that we are the sheep of His pasture, and He is our great shepherd. However, starting with verse 3 and for the remainder of the Psalm, one's faith can be challenged. We only have to look at the brokenness, heartache, mental, emotional, and physical frailties of ourselves, loved ones, and friends for questions and doubts to quickly arise. In spite of our fear, doubt, and at times lack of faith, the Great Shepherd, however, promises to be our shade, protecting us from sunstroke as well as moonstroke. We as people have always known about sunstroke, but in ancient times, people also feared the possibility of being moonstruck. Verse 6 reassured the pilgrims as they journeyed to Jerusalem that they were protected. As modern-day followers, this verse affirms that Jehovah guards us from fears both rational and irrational. The psalmist strongly acknowledges, as we place our trust in Him, we can be liberated from whatever holds us hostage. This includes our failures, disappointments, fears, lack of faith, and even our sins. The Lord's vow is to keep us from evil as well as keep our lives in our going out and our coming in. Yahweh's protection does not always come, though, when desired, nor in the manner that you and I want. We must be very careful, then, not to interpret this verse, as some do, as a guarantee that Christians have an exemption from disease, distress, loss of loved ones, or the elimination of the wear and tear of everyday life. You and I only have to look at our own lives to know that this is not the case. What is promised, however, is the assurance that the follower is never alone, regardless of how they feel, surrounding circumstances, but rather that there is a keeper who will keep you from your beginning to your end, and in fact, into eternity. The nation of Israel was a people of an event, and that event was the Exodus event. It shaped them forever of who they were, how they were to live, and who they were to worship. We too are a people in event, and that event took place a little over 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha. Ours, yours and mine event, is the Christ event, as encapsulated in His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Christ's redemptive work on the cross on our behalf and His triumph over sin and death is the dramatic demonstration of God's protection and our redemption for all who will call upon Him. Like those travelers in Psalm 121, as a senior in high school, I began a pilgrimage to a vocal camp at Ghost Ranch the Presbyterian Retreat Center located just outside of Abiquiu, New Mexico. Many of you will know that location because you have visited, and it's also the place where the studio of, I just went blank. Who is the famous Southwest painter? Georgia O'Keeffe, thank you. Her studio is on the ranch property. I made this trip for 30 years, first as a student participant, and later as I became the co-director of the vocal camp. During rehearsal one evening, a violent storm arose with intense lightning and thunder, accompanied by a strong wind that actually drove the wind horizontal to the ground. I had never experienced that before. It was amazing. The storm, threatening and intimidating, was brief and culminated with the appearance of a stunning rainbow suspended over Kitchen Mesa. Only the director had sight of Kitchen Mesa and God's creative handiwork visible through the windows located behind where the choir was seated. Just as the choir was rehearsing, the storm was ending, and they were singing Alan's Pote setting of Psalm 121, which our own choir has sung in worship several times since I have arrived. The director stopped, and with tears streaming down his cheeks, invited the choir to stand, turn around, and gaze upon this amazing panorama. The Creator's creation was providing a stunning reminder of God's promise to keep and protect His people. It was then, in an instant, that my boyhood adventures in the foothills and mountains of Idaho were transformed into something new, different, and exciting. In that instance, the hills and the mountains were no longer just a place of adventure and escape, but rather a sign from the Father, the keeper protector of my going out and my coming in. While I do have abilities, gifts, and talents, I am certainly not strong enough or capable enough on this side of the veil to carry all that life brings. Since encountering God in that moment, I look with wonder and awe to the grand creator of the mountains and the creator of you and me. I look to a Lord who has been and continues to be my help and strength and life and promises to see me not only through this life, but into the next. For the past week, the eyes of the world have been focused on the 31st Olympiad and the 2016 Summer Olympic Games. Without a doubt, one of the single most iconic pictures that we see on our television coming from Rio is the enormous statue of Jesus Christ the Redeemer, or in Portuguese, Cristo Redentor. The figure, which took 6 years to complete, was finished in 1931. The statue is perched on a 26-foot base and towers 98 feet up from there, and the outstretched arms of Christ are some 92 feet in length. The statue, because of its commanding height, is visible from everywhere in Rio. Life for the athletes assembled in Rio has been about discipline, sacrifice, competition, and about becoming the best competitor possible with the hope of winning an Olympic medal. As you and I know, most of the athletes will leave without a medal or even so much as a mention of their name. I hope and pray for everyone who has been lifting their eyes to this massive sculpture perched at the 2,310-foot summit of Mount Corcovado will not just see a piece of art. Rather, may you and I see a towering symbol erected to remind all from whence does your help come from. For He who is our keeper, who keeps us in our going out and our coming in, offers an ultimate prize more precious than gold, silver, or bronze. It is the prize of eternal life. I believe we are blessed to live in an area of the country with beautiful hills and magnificent mountains. But the question is, what do you see when you look to these hills and mountains? Do you simply see mighty mountains and beautiful hills? Or do you see a vast landscape pointing to the Creator who is your keeper, the Lord God of hosts? Eugene Peterson has stated the psalm in this way in The Message. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's garden will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, is right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now, and He guards you forever. As I look out over you this morning, I have come to know you as a people who are faithful through times of trial and tribulation. In the last year, I know a number of you have battled cancer. Some of you are dealing with broken relationships with your spouse or perhaps a child. Perhaps your world has been turned upside down by things that you couldn't even imagine were coming your way. And yet, you have remained faithful. I challenge you to continue to reach out to Cristo Redentor, your Redeemer, your Creator, your Sustainer. For He is truly your help. He is your strength. He will sustain you as you live your life today, tomorrow, the years ahead, and at some point, He will call all of us home. And what a glorious day that will be when we find ourselves in the throne room of heaven for all eternity, gathered with the angels, the archangels, and the saints who have gone before us, to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This is your God. This is your Creator. This is your Keeper, your Protector. Love Him, serve Him, and embrace Him.